All right, let's just go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree against today's meeting as saints. We are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. We're looking at unadulterated joy. Is that correct? And we will need to pay attention to a few things we've been paying attention to and trusting God that we are instructed and we keep learning. Praise God forever. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Look at verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before thy eyes. For I will take you from amongst the heathen, and gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Now look at 26, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. A new heart will I give you also, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Look at 27 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall what? Keep my what? Judgment. You shall keep my judgment. Right? Now, it's very important to note what Ezekiel is prophesying. And I hope you know, for a believer, that's now our reality. John chapter 3 will tell you how Jesus will speak around, except a man be born again. Hallelujah. Except a man be born again. Is that correct? Can know what? See the kingdom of God. So a man needs to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now, to be born again there with me, we set the word there again, is the word that deals with from above, right? Another thing, right? From above. So except a man but born from above. Now, when the Bible teaches about above, we've said that over time, right? The doctrine of scriptures that teaches about in heaven is not as much speaking about the skies above us. I would say that, however, when you say the sky is above, it means you're talking of something different. Are we together, right? So when the Bible says that heaven and earth, right, don't think of heaven and earth as the sky, right, and where man is standing, but think about heaven and earth as the what? The what? The unseen and the seen. Are we together? So heaven is on earth. Are we together? Amen. Heaven is where? On earth. So heaven is on earth because the unseen is in the world that is seen. Are we together? So the unseen world and the seen world, there is a marriage union. There's a union, so to say, right? So when the Bible talks about except a man be born from above, he's trying to say a man must be born from heaven, right? And if we say heaven is unseen, can we say a man must be born from the unseen, right? Are we together? That which might not be seen with the physical eyes. When you got born again, there was nothing about your physical eyes, or there was nothing that could be seen through the physical eyes. So it was all things spiritual. Say all things. Say all things spiritual. All together, right? So when Jesus would say, except a man but born of water, I mean the spirit. Is the unseen spiritual? Okay, so can the earth be natural and the heavens be spiritual? Can the heavens be supernatural and the earth is natural? Okay? So when it says, except a man be born of water, that is of the spirit, it means that a man was born of the supernatural. Is that correct? All right? So what did Ezekiel say? I will sprinkle clean water. That is, I will give you a new heart and give you a new spirit. That means you will now be one who has an heritage or inheritance from the supernatural. Hallelujah. All right? So it's very important to know that as the believer, that your state is both natural and supernatural. There is something behind the scene that the believer must always pay attention to. So salvation is something that happens in the world that is not seen. Then the fruits will be demonstrated in the world that is seen. Altogether, right? So let me now say something. Last week we saw about Psalm 16, where David was saying that in the presence of the Lord, remember that? There is what? Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. We said, what is the fullness of joy speaking about? The fullness of joy is speaking about the fact that upon the resurrection, joy accompanies the resurrection. Right? So in the presence of the Lord, the fullness of joy does not mean that when we come together in church, that's when our joy is the fullest. No. Are we together? You know, the things you learn in church is to help your life outside of the four walls of the church. So imagine if the highest point where joy is only in the church. It means we ideally should be having service every single day and every single hour. Because once you live like this, you'll see things that will dampen your joy. What do you do again? You run back to the church again and what? Pop up, like a filling station, right? But that's not good Bible interpretation. So when it says the fullness of joy, the presence of the Lord, it's talking about the fact that there is a nature of joy that comes to anyone who believes the resurrection. Are we together? So Jesus will come out from the dead. It means the presence of the Lord is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And that resurrection comes with a nature of joy. So joy is the nature of the believer. Joy is something that accompanies salvation. Are we together? When you receive the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive a new heart, you have a heart of joy. When you are born again, you have a heart of joy. The joy of what? The joy of salvation. Are we together? So there is a nature of joy and there's an expression of joy. A lot of times we believers, we don't pay attention to both of them, right? There is a nature of joy. There is a what? There's an expression of joy, right? When you see how Paul would teach in Galatians chapter 5, when he's speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, he said, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. And in love, you find what? Joy. Hallelujah, right? So there is joy as a nature and joy as an expression. Hallelujah. Say there is. Say there is, are we hungry? Somebody said yes. Are we all fasting? You know, fast. Some of you have eaten 3 boiled eggs and what? And tea. 3 boiled eggs on Sunday morning. And Bonvita. Light. Praise God. Right? So joy is the nature of the believer. But there's an expression of joy that is required from the believer who has a nature. Are we together? Right? There's an expression of joy that's required from the believer who has a nature. So the nature of one who is born again and the expression of that nature, the gap is what? Knowledge. We said that over time. Knowledge is the gap that separates the nature of joy and the expression of joy in a believer. I said that a couple of weeks ago, last week. Knowledge, I'll say it one more time, is the gap that separates the nature of joy in the believer. Are we together? Right? And the expression of that joy. Right? So, when you talk about fruits, right? Fruit of the Spirit, love. In love, we have joy. You don't beg for fruits to show. Fruits just need to be expressed. Is that correct? So, as long as the seed is correct, the fruit will be expressed. You get the point? Right? So you don't sow. You know, what's growing up, one of the things that our Christian theology has taught us is we've used the doctrine of seed for money. You get the point, right? I want to sow a seed into your life, right? I want to sow a seed into, and we've used seed to do all manners of things. Right? And I would always say, right? The truth is that there is such a thing called the practice of giving, right? You know, now, can giving help your heart in honoring? Yes. All together. So I say it this way, right? If you have something that you want to give as a gift to a man of God or a pastor so that he can pray for you, right? What is the gift you are giving? An act of honor. Get the point, right? Without the gift, can the man of God pray for you? Let me say it differently. Without the gift, should the man of God pray for you? That's a very difficult question, right? Without the gift, should a man of God pray for you? Okay. Look, let me know how to move forward from now. Without the gift, should a man of God pray for you? Because what you give freely, what you receive freely, you give freely. You get the point? Now, where does seed as a concept come in? Now, remember I said something. Seed used as money. You know, I've had several people, and I always share this testimony. There's a brother who wanted to go for a contract. Remember that story? He wanted to go for a contract, and he brought a seed. Whooping envelope. You know, their numerous envelopes have turned back or rejected or given back and all of those things for different reasons. I remember one of the first places I went to preach, not first really, but I went to preach somewhere in Abuja. I think I've said this over time, right? And they have packaged an envelope for me and gave me. When I was going to the car, they rushed and gave me. And what I did was I came down from the car, went back to the pastor. Remember I said that, right? Yeah. Why? Because there was a construction that was going on there. I don't know how much was inside, right? But because there was construction, I was like, oh, let me just give as a gift to the church. So they gave me an honorarium, yeah? I gave it back. This same brother came around and said, Pastor, there's a contract I want to get. Yeah, I just want to give you this seed. Sometimes we look at this giving as an act of bribery. You're trying to bribe God. And I said, you see, this your seed does not verify or confirm that you will get this contract. How are we together? Oh, and I said to him, and I said, you know what? Take your gifts, right? And let me agree with you in prayer. Guess what? He got the contract. You know, if I took that seed, my story today will be different. There was one man, he provoked the oil. You know, there's oil from inside. He provoked the oil with his seed. I went together. And I watched, ignited. See, money can change. Money can change people. Ah, small belay, lamb belay. I know. Yeah? The truth is that money can change. You know, there are some gifts people will give you. You want to remove your coat and pray for them from your heart. You will never struggle again. And that's why you don't blame pastors. Obviously, you blame them because they're not paying attention to the word as much as possible. But I'm trying to say that when you give a gift, it should be a sign of honor, not a sign of bribery. There are two different things, right? Yeah? And he got the contract for himself, like I said, and eventually he was happy he got the contract. What did we do when he came to meet one of the group for a contract? We did what he called the prayer of agreement of faith. Prayer of faith. And we're together, right? Unfortunately, a lot of us as pastors, we allow the seed that people give us to influence the extent of faith we build. Because you know the person who gives you money today, if he gets more, he will give you more. So who benefits more? The pastor. How together? You know, and that's why I keep saying, and I've said it almost in every teaching this series. I said, you see, in a local church, the person who is susceptible to the most amount of gifts from people is the pastor. Like I always say it. Right? Yeah? I am more prone to get £1,000 from each of you than you are prone to get £1,000 from each of us. Why? Because I am the pastor. I'm privileged to be the pastor. Right? In a well-taught church, you know to honor your pastor. You know to give to your pastor. But the truth remains that as pastors, if we now come, what we do for the flock is we now come and use those stories to torment people. The word is oppressed. All together. Yeah? And you're like, last week, I was just going to, someone just came and squeezed money in my pocket. I went to the car. The Holy Spirit said, don't open it. Don't open it. Why? Because you will jump. Don't open it because you jump. And I went to the car. I sat down and I opened it. I just saw hard currency was just unfolding itself. And I ended with, God does not lie. Yeah? The night before, let me tell you, I've had scenarios where, a few months ago, actually. Right, I was trusting God for something, right? And eventually, someone gave me a gift that covered everything I was trusting for. And obviously, that's a life of faith. Is that correct? I trusted God. And every believer must be in that position where you trust God for your needs to be met. But let me tell you something. I don't know of one person who trusted God too well. That's painful. I don't know of one person who trusted God into wealth. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, look, I had a need, right? I had a need. Someone gave me a gift, right? Okay, someone gave me a seed to meet my need. Hallelujah. Someone gave me a seed to meet my need, right? And that's fine. But imagine my need was £1,000,000. No. Someone can give me. Is that not correct? Someone can give me £1,000,000 to meet my needs. Why? I'm the person's pastor, or I've blessed the person. right? Now, do supernatural occurrences happen where somebody just randomly gets one huge amount of money? Yes. But the truth remains that I'm susceptible to those kind of experiences because I'm a pastor. But I'm also saying that you can live your life on faith where you are trusting God to meet you at the point of need. You get what I'm trying to say? You cannot afford to relegate that part of your life. Yeah, you must always trust God. You must always believe God. You know, sometimes you want to go on a project and you know that your salary cannot take this. Right? You can trust for needs being met. But the truth remains that if God prompts it in someone's heart to give you an amount and the person chooses not to give you, the person has strictly disobeyed God, but you will not have it. Because think about the other people who God has prompted you to give money to. And you squeeze your heart and say, no, this must be the devil. I bind you. You foul spirit. Yeah? Now, we say it this way. The fact that seed has been used for giving, right? It has made us believe we can bribe our way through life. Some people even sow seed for health. Mm-mm. You can pray for someone for their health without having to sow a seed. I remember I was watching a video a couple years ago, one pastor who had read a scripture and said, sow $1,000 for every year you've lived for. That means people will go and change their birth certificates. Then another one, sow $1,000 for how many years you want to live for. That one is troublesome. Do you understand? Per year, $1,000. And I always struggle with, you know, those materialism gospel. You see, and you know, truth of materialism gospel as a concept is an African thing. It started from America. And when the team visited Nigeria, he built his headquarters there. Are we here? I'm not lying to you. I was talking to someone a few days ago, maybe 2 days or 3 days ago. He was telling me about, you know, how we can reach the world and everything. I asked the question. I said, I want to be very troublesome, but I'll be troublesome. Now, you see, when we come to a land like this, the truth is that this is not a Nigerian church. I hope you know. This is not an African church. The pastor is African, but my mindset is not African. My vision here is not come to come and gather African people here. Amen. Africa will join, but there are people in this land we need to meet. And I was talking, the person was asking me the question, why is it that when Nigerian pastors come around, people will usually gather from different parts of the city and go and fill the street and everything? And I said, I didn't look for visa. Most people immigration status. Job that sponsor. Is it not true? That's why Christians leave those part of the world, come to developed countries, and they don't have a Christian life. You don't have a prayer life. You know, some people are in the UK right now, they don't think there's a reason for vigil. Because every vigil you always went to, it was always about my name. Crossover is coming again. God help you, went to a place of crossover, right? They promise you that this is your year. It's not, you know, God did what in 7 days. So we still have 7 weeks to go. So it's still very possible. I'm not saying don't trust God for supernatural, but I'm saying don't allow your materialism slant be the lens by which you view God. So Americans visited Nigeria with that prosperity message. Seed sowing, when your life is tight, pay your tithes. When your life is suffering, check your offering. When your money cannot meet your need, sow as a seed. And when the thing came, because Nigeria, Africa, more often than I'm saying this publicly, we have government officials who are very selfish. Are we together? And I always say it this way, the problem is not government official. The problem is, I don't even know how to say it, we are the problem. Because we have more people that can steal outside the government office today than people in the government office. You don't understand. Everybody's waiting for it's their turn. They go, they touch it. They go, they touch it. You know, and that's why if you don't have a good heart, when you get there, you will touch and you'll clean your mouth. And you will lie and say it's for your church project. Are we together? So when the gospel came to Nigeria, that's why you see a lot of believers can easily slip into what you call the concept of depression. Because your mind has been programmed to see joy to only come from things that are material. So what happens? You get £1 million tomorrow, what happens? You jump, hit your head on the wall, you invest, you do real estate, you do all of these things. What happens if everything starts dropping, and the thing becomes zero. You go after God. You start pressing God again with what? Your seed. You now start serving God. You know some people, you know when there's money in their pockets. You see the time they come to church. Amen? And there are those you know when there's no money in their pockets. You see the time they come to church. Amen? Because the church is an avenue. But you're trying to wind God. I think if God see me that I enter in 8 a.m. for service of 10, God will just look at me and just say, my son, angel Gabriel, help me meet his need. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness. And all, say all other things shall be added unto you. If you have lived long enough, you know you don't get everything you pray for. Let me say that differently. You have not gotten everything you prayed for. Are we together? Yeah? So the question becomes, when all the things you pray for come, you know, we now use prayer our prayer point for road. Altogether. You know, in the UK, if you don't pray for protection, best bet, 20 years you stay here, nobody will enter your house. And say, if you leave your door open and you don't pray for protection, 20 years, best bet, depending on where you are, still low. Best bet. You will not wake up one day and just see one big man in your compound. Is that not true? Or in somebody who mask. But you know, from the part of the world where I come from, as you're walking towards the door, you lock the door. You know, you even go and quickly drink water. You go back and press the door to see if you really locked it. You go and lock all the window, lock it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, watch and pray. Yeah? But when all those things seem to be sorted, well, you don't have to have faith for the taxi that will come and pick you. What happens? You seem not to have a Christian life again. And that's the same way people allow that their joy to be dependent on material things. Okay, you got a visa, okay. That's why believers cannot take disappointments. Because we pastors don't teach it. And every believer goes through disappointments. This year you'll be blessed. Who does not want to have a better life? But there must be a segment of our service in our meetings where we teach people how to handle disappointments. If you like, pour anointing oil on your visa application form. If there's no money in your account, they will deny you. Do you understand? If you don't have income, they will reject you. Now, are there supernatural cases where people have supernatural experiences? Yes, but what's the fraction? The guy did not submit one document. All of a sudden, one angel went to go and drop the document in the embassy. Okay. But yeah, you, the pastor, okay, submit your own visa. No, don't tell me story. You, the pastor, share the submit your visa. Remove the documents. Why do you like behave? And those things only trend in places where the government is not doing what they should do. So when you get to an environment where things seems to be working fine, what happens? You don't have a Christian life. Now, what led me to all of this is the use of the word seed. Seed in scripture has to do with the word of God, altogether, or Christ Jesus, right? And not for money. Have you heard the scripture that says Isaac sowed in the land? Is that correct? Isaac what? Sowed in the land. And he reaped how many folds? 100 folds. What was he doing? A Greek. Agroeconomics, agriculture. You got the point? That scripture does not teach Isaac sowed into a pastor's life. And what happened? He reaped 100. No. That's not the point. I always tell you, if money is gotten by seed sowing, nobody as a believer should be poor. Because all you need in this life is initial capital. Everybody here has initial capital. Everybody has initial capital. What do you need to do? You sow it. What now happens? You sow 500 pounds. You get 50,000 pounds. What do? You remove, you first remove your profits. Right? Or no, remove your initial capital. I always say, if they show you, you sow 5,000, look at it now. You sow $500. You got $50,000. What is $500 away from? That's how many percent? No one will calculate it because that is ridiculous. You got $49,500 more. If you sure you put it back. if you are certain is your seed that works sowing, it's not common sense. If you are certain is your seed sowing principle that works, put 49 back. Use Stafford there for transport. Use another Stafford there to see front. Put the 49. What will not happen? No. This one has come to meet my need. Let's stop being very joking. Let's stop taking Christopher as a joke. Right? Now, the question is this. When you find out that your heart is tilted more to materialism, when life throws its ugly head, it will be difficult for you to come out. When your joy is dependent on things that can change. Are we together? Yeah? Someone was telling me that there's this thing. You know what I was saying today? I've said it over time, right? Don't allow your joy to be dependent on things that change. I hope you know anything in this world can change. Including your job. Is that correct? Including your house. Including your car. You get the point? You get what I'm trying to say? Are we here? Don't allow your joy to be dependent on things that can change. It is what put your joy on that which cannot change. The eternal spirit of God on your inside. God dwells on your inside forever. I'm saying whether your contract goes well or doesn't go well, regardless of that, at any point or time T, your joy is always full, even in expression, because your joy is not based on your job. I know the things I say, I'm not saying it from theory. I'm saying it from what? Practical. It's both theory and practical. It's the life I live. It's the life I live. Praise God forevermore. So, what do you have on your inside? We said we have the spirit of God. You have the nature of God. You have the nature of joy. Are we together? So, joy is not something you look for. Joy is something you allow to be expressed. Amen? Joy is something you what? You allow to be expressed. Are we together? So joy is not something that comes and goes. It's not something that visits and goes. It's something that indwells you. Right? So at times in your life, when things go south, right? When you feel empty, right? The problem is not the absence of joy. Is that correct? Because joy is in nature. The problem is not the absence of the Spirit of God. Because Spirit of God is something, or the Spirit of God is God on your inside, and that's the reality forever. Right? So it's not the absence of joy, but the awareness of it. Are we together? That makes a believer feel empty. Praise God forevermore. Look at Romans 14. Praise God forevermore. Are you learning today? Look at Romans 14, 17. Are you there? Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Praise God forevermore. You see, dear saints, right? These things we are saying, please, master them. Learn them well. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God, 1, 2, 3, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace. And what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. So that means joy is a kingdom reality. Are we together? Joy is a kingdom reality. If there's anything called the generator of joy, what should that be? Salvation, the Spirit of God. Right? So the Spirit of God in man should be what generates the expression of joy. And now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the news you get and your mind will just be blown away. But if you smile more at news you get, more than the good news of the resurrection, what happens when that news changes negatively? Jesus had disciples. What happened to the disciples? The Bible says that they went out to the streets to go and what? Cast out demons. Is that correct? And Bible now says that they came back to Jesus and they were rejoicing and they were saying, oh, dear Lord Jesus, oh, dear Lord Jesus, we casted out demons in your name. Is demon casting good? Yes. But don't rejoice over demon casting more than the salvation reality. Because there are days you might want to cast out demon, the demon beats you. Is that a reality? Are we together? You know, if demon beat a believer, it doesn't mean the Spirit of God left. Get the point? Right? So imagine you are happy that, oh, I went, Pastor, you see, I went to the streets today. And I was just doing like this. Wah!
People will just be falling. I just do, cry, take it. One of them, move back, move back, move back, move back. Everywhere scattered. The power of the Holy Ghost was there. You know, there's some places you go to where they don't allow the free flow of the Spirit. It will like blow breeze. It will like kick them. It will like headboot them. Remove your suit. Do like this hole. They will stand like this and remove your suit and tell your guy, what are you doing here? You know, if you were, your joy when those people responded to you was based on their response. This time around, when they don't respond to you, you think there's something wrong with you. You now start being moody. You now ask what happened. I didn't believe I was sending the power of God. They did not even receive. They are not well taught in that church. Oga, madam, ensure that your joy is dependent on something that is constant. You can give the power of the Holy Ghost to someone, the person takes it, and that person still becomes very rude to you tomorrow by the power of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? You can be a blessing to someone today. You know, can be a blessing. And that's why, you know, when you're doing the work of ministry, why do I always talk about this kind of thing? Like I always say, the goal is, I was our vision as a church, see men coming to the reality of God's word and to train them for the what? It means an average member of God's palace should be involved in ministry. And time and situation or seasons might require that you pastor or lead a set of people. That's how Jesus will take over the earth. When more men are trained to reach more men. Right? So that's why I share some examples with you so that you can begin to learn as you are growing. Right? If you find yourself in a place where you are excited, you know, the praises of people get to you. When they say negative thing, it will get to you as well. Are we together? Yeah? Yeah? I remember a couple, you know, months ago, probably running into years now, like, please, somebody just messaged me and thank me. Long message like this. And the old thinking was to communicate that they were going to leave church. And the old message was communicate that my teaching taught them that they were supposed to leave church. You know, no, they don't gaslight anybody that I'm pastor in this world. You know what I call gaslight? No, don't gaslight when I'm pastor in this world. You know, after I finish preaching, I say, oh, so when you start reading a message like that, you know, a lot of times I'll, let me tell you what I do, right? So I was going to say, God has asked me to leave because of your teaching, and based on your teaching, I will now leave. It means I'm not supposed. He said it in one very interesting way. Now imagine if I was deriving my joy as a preacher from the fact that this person said God has made me a blessing to their life. Altogether. Right? You chew the praise of me. And unfortunately, now there are two extremes to that. Some of us, we are on the extreme of we don't even know how to appreciate. Altogether, we don't even know how to thank, you know, your leaders, right? I want you to lift your hands. If you message, don't lift your hands, answer in your heart. If you message me since I pastored you, I say, Pastor, I just want to thank you for all you've been to me. Lift your hands. Don't lift your hands. Lift your hands. Don't lift your hands. Yeah? You know, it should be a gauge for you to actually know how an average person is not appreciative. That's the truth, right? An average person is not appreciative. So by default, and you know, I did a post a couple years ago, probably 6-7 years ago. And I asked the question, I was saying, do you have your pastor's number? Do you check up on your pastor? Do you chat to your pastor? Do you say hello to your pastor? Do you listen? And majority of people who eventually engage me, they say, oh, thank you so much. Oh, I didn't know we're supposed to do this. You didn't know what? It's part of your Christian commitment. Eh? I had to stop it 2 years ago there, but when I realized all the people I'm pastoring, I'm laboring over, I really want to thank you for coming to church. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being committed this year. Mm-mm. I have to stop it. So I'm not going to do it again, really. I'm saying it publicly. I have to stop it. Yeah? And I'll be blushing. You're welcome, Pastor. Yeah? Why am I saying it this way? Right? You see, you know, for instance, yesterday, you know, let me tell you something. We need to build a practice in the church. Most of you here did not reach out to me yesterday on our founder's birthday. And that's not godly. It's unfortunate. I wasn't happy about it. But, you know, we have to still be patient with people. That's unfortunate. Most of you, 99.9. Yeah. What is it? Oh, Pastor, thank you. Abi, you don't know the story. You don't know the story of how we got here. Oh, Pastor, you're struggling. I just want to know you are praying for you. I said, no. Now, you know, with this thing I'm even saying, I'm trying to say that is not where I derive my joy from. It's a bad practice, oh. So change. Easter come, you celebrate only Jesus. What of your pastor? Christmas come, you celebrate Jesus. What of your pastor?
Even your pastor's birthday says, say thank you for the blessing you've been to. You've been a blessing to the world. What about you? The pastor, I just want to thank you for the blessing you had to this generation. I didn't know a blessing to you. What I'm teaching you is not for God's palace, it's for anywhere you find yourself in the world. Have the practice. Put an alarm on your phone. Pastor, do you know why I'm saying this today? My wife was saying something to me last night. And until she said it, it dawned on me. A member in Nigerian church called me. My wife was beside me. And I picked the call. I said, how are you, brother? Oh, what's the issue? I was like, oh, Pastor, I just realized I've not been calling you. I don't see your voice. I couldn't move past. You wanted to check on me. I asked 3 times. What's the, okay. You've greeted me. I said, I'm fine. You are fine. What is, because every call I get, 99.9% is, Pastor, there's this problem. Pastor, there's that problem. So I could, and Pastor is a leader. So my wife was beside me. I was like, that the way the call was going, that you were expecting, like, was, is that not the reality? So I felt strange yesterday when he said, Pastor, I wanted to check up on you. And I was like, really? Check up on me? So I'm trying to say, I'm still where I am today. I have the track record of years of people not checking up. My joy is not in the checking. I'm teaching, if you have bad conduct, change it. Do you know what I'm saying? If you have bad conduct, cover your face in what do you call it? No, don't. I'd not say shame. In resurrection reality, in redemption reality. But change your bad conduct. But I'm saying, as a pastor, if I to derive my joy from how you people appreciate, I won't be here today. You'll be praying this morning. This morning, I'll just say, Jesus, I lead them in prayer, Jerry. God will answer all our prayer. Yeah? Anywhere you find yourself in the world, learn that practice of thanking people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've been a blessing to me. Thank you. You've corrected me. You know, sometimes you even pray for some people. They even get healed self, right? And they will, you know, it becomes very interesting. You know, I always say it this way, right? When I'm a blessing to you in God's palace, you get the supernatural money. The first person you take it by is your pastor in Ota. The pastor in Tanzania. The person that's laboring on you over the past how many years? Every morning, afternoon, evening. Eh? When demon pursue you, you will call the same pastor. Pastors, we like to enjoy life too now. And that's why you don't blame pastors who try to collect the money from people by force. But you are blessed that you don't have a pastor like that. You know that, right? Nobody in this church, in the beginning of this church, has given more than me to this church. Nobody in this church. Not one soul or family merged together said. No family in this church has given more than gospel. So she started pastoring 7 plus years ago. Jesus, so I'm not in this but you know, I can get money out of you now. Is it hard? It's not hard now. You can get it. But you see, don't until you allow pastor get to that point and say, these people, they don't even give. I called the leaders one day and asked, I said, I've been pastoring you for 6-7 years. You've never said, take 100 naira credits. Just recharge your phone. I think it's a very instructive teacher. I don't know where I'm headed here. But I think it's trying to bring a balance as to why you see churches behave the way they behave in trying to exact money from people. And when you are so stingy, let's even forget stingy. Don't attach money. Just say thank you. So yesterday, it would have been good. Let that be a practice going forward. Reach out to your pastor. Oh, pastor, understand it. Or you don't think I have emotions too. Oh, pastor, understand this is a very, you know, interesting part for you, interesting time for you. Just praying for strength for you. Just want to know that we love you. We are here for you. That's a long way. But even if it does not come, like I said, we still keep what? Moving. Don't allow your joy to be dependent on things that change, including people. You get the point? Including people. There are people that started their year and say, oh, pastor, you've been the most miraculous blessing. Without you, I would not have known Jesus. Until you correct them, you now realize that they are the Jesus. They are the Jesus that knew you. And you not recognize the oil on their life. So don't allow your joy to be dependent on people. Like I said it on Wednesday. You can't allow, there's nobody that comes before Jesus in my life. Not one person. My wife knows I love her. My daughter, she doesn't know yet, but I know she's supposed to know that I love her. But I can't put her before Jesus. Your husband can break your heart. Jesus will not break your heart. In fact, the one that will heal the heart. You can train a child in the way of the Lord. And when he grow up, he will put the will, he will carry the will of the Lord and put like this. I say, I want to go on my own way. Daddy, I'm no longer a he, I'm a them she. All together. If your joy was in the fact that you are raising a child training a child in the way of the Lord, when you hear that kind of thing, what will you do? You know, your heart will just sink. I know when these kind of things are said in church, the easiest thing for a member to say is, so bitch, our children are well taught. They will grow. We know that. What we know is not every child that is well taught that follows the way they were taught. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Just look at yourself. Can you open your mouth and tell your parents this you did in university? No. You see that is what you call pride. That's what you call pride. She said, yes. Good. Let me go for that. And if they told you that there was a camera watching you from your day one in university to your last day in university, and they're about to hand over the memory card to your mom, you see, the person that said, yes, it has changed. They say, your mom, we still get you. There's a memory card that recorded you, Sister JT, from the day you got admission to the day you graduated, composition, and you clean your cap up. I say, I want to hand over that memory card. Okay, let's go for that. If they said they wanted to video all your NYSC you did, I just say, Daddy, Mommy, we just decided to help you so that you can view the child you trained up. How would you feel? Let's not forget about camera. Let's say God reveal the things that went through your mind. Or you didn't do anything, but the things that just crossed your mind. You know what I'm trying to say? So imagine a parent now says, for instance, my job, you are the pride of the family. Is that good? Yes, it's good. It's lovely, it's brilliant, it's beautiful. But much more than that is, because people can change, don't put your joy on that which changes. Put your joy on that which is eternal. Are we together? Some people give birth to children after praying for children for a while, and the children start growing, they realize it's not the will of the Lord. They say, I wish I didn't give birth to you. Does it not happen? Some people will look at their children and say, since the day you came to this, some people will say, I haven't caused the day you were born. Does it not happen? And everybody that they gave birth to, they drank Morty now. They drank Morty and meat pie. Is that not correct? And they lifted up the Lord, the baby into the Lord. Right? When you hear the kind of things, people will be like, there's a story that I was training somewhere. Someone was asking me all my thoughts. They sent a video to me of how a teacher had a competition with a child. And they called the parents to the school. And the parents started slapping and beating the teacher. Right? I said, what is my thought? I was like, what is my thoughts? Which one is my thought? Am I the parent? Which one is my thoughts? Right? But the truth remains, those parents, they should be ashamed of themselves, number one. But because they want to defend their children in front of anything, they will what? Fight their way to ensure as if their children are right, are always in the right. There are things you will see behind the scene you don't want people to know in the public. If your joy is dependent on how united your family is, it takes one child to just leave the way and tarnish the entire name of the family. You know, it takes an action. It takes an action to just throw away all the cards of the things you've been building up. So, dear sins, I'm saying to you, nothing in this world should be much more of a priority than the joy of the resurrection. Say, I'm full of joy. Look at James. James, chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, let me allow you. James, chapter 1, verse 2. I'll read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith walketh patient. What did James say? Count it all joy. When you get yourself into what? Diverse what? Temptations. Let me say this to you. Joy is not denial of pain. Amen? Joy is not denial of pain. Joy is dominion over pain. Did you get that? Joy does not mean you deny pain. So if somebody slap you like this, you don't say, no, it's not even paining me. Are we together? Yeah? If someone does anything bad to you, you don't say, no, it didn't even get to me. We are human beings. We have emotions. But you see, joy is having dominion over the pain. Like I said last week, don't be among those who always like to be pitied. I like to be pitied. I just want people to just pity me. That's why I keep sharing my story. Yeah? Someone was saying to me that, you know, that in their ministry, I can tell you clearly. Pastor Shego was saying in one of his teachings, was saying that somebody had reached out to him and was saying that the church they are in, they've asked her to come and share about her past experience just to win more souls. So Pastor Shego now said, your past, is it the same past I know? Is it the same past I know? He said, I would advise you, keep your story to yourself. A friend of mine, she was in America. She's like a disciple, you know. So she called me one day. She was like, Pastor, I don't know what to do. What happened? One lady came to church and confessed that she was a witch before. And what now happened? The child, she was playing with her child. The former witch, ex-witch. Ex-witch was playing with her child. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Why do you carry my child? Why do you go there? Small girl that is less than 3-4 years old. Pastor, the ex-witch was carrying my daughter. Ma will not forget your story. I used to sleep with 5 men in a day before. Okay. Is that the message? And be sharing now. Until somebody's wife see their husband with you and change it for you. What are you doing with my husband? In front of you. Eh? Until somebody's wife sees you trying to just take, imagine you are in the media unit. What to snap? Why are you snapping my husband? Yeah, you see, all those experiences, the message is Jesus. So, I saw one guy didn't want testimony. Say he used to kill people before. And I was, he was among the people that used to murder people and he used to bomb people, burn churches, ex-banding. Okay, there's some things you just allow it to be between you and God. Because sins are forgiven, man does not forgive. Man can forgive, but they don't forget. Until they ask you and that person to walk in the same team. But the pastor say, what will have cell in your house? And that brother is in your cell. Just tell your husband, once this brother come, leave the door open. Once this brother steps in, like, just leave the door open. Open the window. And let's increase our voice so that we can shout help when it's time. I say, help. Right? So, all those stories are not the message. The message is the resurrection of Jesus. All together. I used to steal before. It's just normal. If you say, I just have something called kleptomania. Is it kleptomania? Kleptomania. Even though I can afford it, I just find myself in a position where I just, you know, steal it and just stick it and I just don't know how the thing used to enter my body. Until church finished, pastor called all the leaders behind the scene. Say, see that brother, anytime you move towards his direction, just be keeping an eye on him. That brother, you now, innocent brother, you come and pack wire. Just your life. Don't worry, brother. We'll help you. Don't worry, my brother, we'll help you. You can just play with the children. Imagine somebody mistakenly took the laptop to the car. And we did not know. We're not looking for the laptop in the church. Ask brother Ayo. just ask brother Ayo. He will know where it is. We now go ask that kind of brother. Hey, brother, we just wanted to check. Did the laptop mistakenly get to your car? Did you mistakenly take the church laptop? Because what is it on Wednesday? It's not like we are just saying anything. We want to be sure so that we can tell pastor who is with it. People don't forget. All together. Yeah, that's why you be careful the kind of people you even try to seek counsel from. Some people, is the counsel you try to seek for them, they will use for you the day that they're not talking with you again. What will happen? You're not saying things like,
No, that boy. He told me all his secret now. Please don't trust the husband with him or be with her. He's both male and female. Right? So, joy is not denial of what? Joy is not denial of pain. Joy is dominion over pain. Now, I told you, scripture does not teach that challenges will not come. But what scripture teaches is how to respond to challenges. Did you hear what I just said? Scripture will not tell you that challenges will not come. It is how do you respond to challenges. James will say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Yeah? Count it all joy. That's a supernatural advice. Is that correct? It's supernatural. Because how can you be going through challenges and you're saying count it all joy? Yeah? Don't allow the things you go through dictate how you respond. Are we together? Don't allow the things you go through dictate how you respond. I wrote this in my notes. I said, joy is not laughter without reason. Joy is confidence without fear. Did you hear that? Joy is not laughter without reason. Because on the grand scheme of things, right, you're actually laughing when you're expressing joy because of a reason. Right? So joy is not necessarily, you know, laughter without reason. It's confidence without fear. You are certain of a fact. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, that's enough for the believer to feed on every day. That's enough. God says he will never leave me nor forsake me. God says he will never leave me nor forsake me. God says, so we are all work in progress. Is that correct? As our hearts are being worked on, you will offend people. People will say all manners of things about you. You too, you will say your own manners of things. But always remind yourself, God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's word says to you, Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The confidence I have is that God is always with me. God is the one that never leaves his own. Are we together? God doesn't leave his own. Man can leave his own. Altogether, think about it. Jesus, the God in all flesh, his parents forgot him in a different city. Do you understand that? Jesus, supernatural Jesus, they're supposed to have automatic magnet to the parents. They were looking for Jesus, and see the way they're even checking for him in the midst of camel. Is he under that box? Is he inside that traveling bag? They now went back how many days back journey and went around and found him. And I say, Jesus left his parents. His parents too left him. All together. But guess what? There was something that Jesus had at the back of his mind. That there was a God. The scripture will say, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured what? The cross. Jesus went through the cross. Without the cross, there will be no resurrection. All together. Right? Now, you know, people always say this way, for every dawn, there is a night. Is that correct? How do you say it? For every day, there's a night. That's basic. Night comes before the day, before morning. Is that correct? Yeah? You know, the question is, a lot of times, the hope that we have is based on circumstances we can see or not see. You know, everybody in life would have what you call the dark season. Let me streamline what I just said. Every believer is part of life, oh. Hey, it's part of life. You know, there are days you wake up, you don't even know. Sometimes you'll be feeling, why are you still alive? I read a book of someone, you know, from my third lad, Making It Big. I was, you know, reading part of the loans that he was owing people. Billions. And I said, he's still alive today. You, they are owing somebody £250. You enter Aldi from the front door, you are looking for back door. Because you just see them in front that they are coming into with you as well. You enter Tesco for one place, you be like, you just wear face mask, you wear your hoodie. And they will pushing you. It's working like Brother Lamide now. That's his posture. You'll be hearing your name, you'll be increasing your step. He'll be marching you forward. They say, Brother Lamide. He said, no. He said, no. Then when enough and I touch you, not with your face mask. Please tell me, where do I know you from? Somebody, you are owing money. So where do I, have you met before? Yeah? And you know at that kind of point, you want the ground to open. But not to swallow you, but to disappear you into your house. Bunker. Right? I'm not saying you should go and be borrowing people.
I'm going to be, you know, taking loan that I cannot pay back or not another kind. But I'm trying to say that even in the midst of that, don't let your identity be responsible. Be very responsible, definitely. But don't allow your identity to be from a place of fear. Are we together? Right? So the Bible says Christ in me, the what? The hope of glory. That's enough for the believer. When you come to a church where that's what they are teaching predominantly, right? You have found yourself in a good place. Are you together? Yeah? Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is the theme of the church. That is the message of the church. You are okay there. You know why? Because that is the information you need to see you through life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's why the believer, when people, I was saying to someone again a few days ago, I asked a question, I said, have you realized that people from this part of the world, when their breadwinner die, they cry more? Do you know what I just said? Yeah? When the person who is paying your school fees all of a sudden sleep and does not wake up, your tears in that barrier will be different. People who might not know, they might think you are crying because you've lost a life. It's good you are crying. But it might be because you'll be wondering, how will I complete this master's? No, I started. And I remember there was a brother like that in Nigerian church, right? One of his aunties, you remember the story? One of his aunties that promised him that he's going to sponsor him to the UK. All of a sudden, just a few days or weeks before, they just send the money to his account. The woman just slept in glory. Is it bad news? It's bad. But you know, when that brother cried, he will cry more than the child of the auntie. Then I was like, you go to where the auntie of the child, like, why is he crying now? But then, because you know, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, you'll be stupid to go and say, auntie promised me. Yeah, so people are crying. But you know, in a part of the world where there's something called life insurance, are we together? You will cry. God, yes, I don't know, $100,000, $100,000 already waiting for me. You shall cry. Cry. So, if you allow your joy to be on $500,000, what did it now happen? What, do you know? You know, it's possible they say, they before the person died, they change next of kin. Do you understand what they say? They just quickly called the bank and just quickly did one back number. Maybe they were trying to wait for another document to resubmit your ID card. So, you were raising your shoulder because you thought they would give you $500,000. All of a sudden, they were saying, no, we don't see the name here. We don't see the name. We don't see the name Esther. We see the name EY. That's me. Yeah, and if you are not careful, you'll find out that will now dictate how you start treating people or start even going through life generally. Praise God forever. Right? So, I'm trying to skip so that I can jump into a few things. Let's go through a few scriptures and just see how we can try to tie up the knot today. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Look at Acts 2, 46 first. Let's run through the book of Acts and just see how joy was expressed in the book of Acts. Let's start from Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Praise God forevermore. And they, verse 46, Acts 2, 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from where? House to house, did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart. That's with great joy. Praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, a lot of theologians or theory argue this scripture and say such as should be saved means salvation is progressive. No, such as should be saved. The better way to read that, we've taught that several in scriptures, is as many as are saved, right? So those that are saved have been added to the church. But the Bible says that what? They were rejoicing, continuing daily one accord, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and what? Singleness of heart. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts 5, 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, did they beat the apostles? Yeah? Did they beat the apostles? Was it part of their journey? Yeah? You know, in our generation right now, we find very different, interesting things. Let me tell you something. I hope you know, it's God's will and plan that all men are saved, including those that are persecuting the church. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Including those that are persecuting the church. That's why you don't see a record of any apostle that carried knife to the midst of persecution. Peter was the only one that tried it at first to cut the ear of somebody. What did Jesus do? He took the ear and glued it back. If God killed all the people who were persecuting, now, I know this is a very interesting topic, right? Yeah, and I'm not here to talk about anything at all, but you get the message I'm preaching. Yeah? Make sure you, I'm just preaching the word though. Somebody changed it for me the other time. Say, I told them that they should forgive people that offended them. They say, I'm not sensitive. I'm preaching the word. Hope you are hearing. If God had killed Paul, you will not have Ephesians today. You know what I'm trying to say? If God had killed Paul, you won't have Colossians today. It's God's will that all men be saved. Are we together? It's the government's decision to ensure that they protect and put a safety in place for the people. Are we together? So what I'm trying to say is, these are people, I hope you know, 80 to 90% of the apostles were killed. Do you get what I'm trying to say? People can say, you cut their lives short. Is that a bad thing? But you know the people who cut the lives short of those men, if they receive Jesus in their life, they are as forgiven as the men that they killed. You know the man who flogged Jesus and nailed Jesus to the cross, if upon the resurrection he believed in the resurrection, he is as saved as you and I today. Altogether. So it's God's will that all men are saved. So persecution is something that the church will go through. Are we together? Are we here? The Bible says that the apostles were called together and they were beaten. If they've beaten you here for the sake of the gospel, lift your hands. Let me see. They beat you before. If you've been in a place where they wanted to beat you, you took off. Let me see. So where do people used to preach? Where you see people that are saying? You go to the mall. Yeah, go to the mall. You don't go to that. Yeah, if you know, for us, we're in Abuja, right? Let me talk about this. I don't have time again, right? But if you face persecution, right, it is God's will that whoever that is persecuting the church is saved. Okay? So the Bible says that. It says, and they continued daily, verse 40, and they agreed, they had beaten them, and they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And what did they do? They let them, let's read verse 1 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. What a privilege it is to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Are we together? See, human mind doesn't comprehend this. That's why my conviction of times is that believers don't read their Bible. It's a settlement I have. You don't read your Bible. You don't read your Bible. Are we together? Right? There. In an environment, in the UK, for instance, whose responsibility is it for the safety of the citizens in the country? The government. If the church decides to help, is that fair? Yeah? Is there anything bad? No. If the church does not help as you want them to help, are they out of scriptures? No. Are we together? No. Yeah? It is not the church's responsibility to provide protection. Even the church is looking for protection. You know, we have very unreasonable people who are very selfish in the way they reason. I told you of a lady who, I won't call her name, but I told you of a lady who, from the part of the world where I come from, there was something called NSAS at a point. I never speak about that online. You know me. You go on Trek. I don't talk about whatever, I don't talk about anything, politics or anything. You know why? Because if police come to arrest you, what do they tell you? You have the rights. Why not using your rights to write me? I have the right to be quiet. You have the right to speak up. Speak up and let them hear you. Don't speak up and try to join me. You are selfish. People don't reason. Lady, because I didn't talk about NSA, she blocked me, deleted me, for everything. A few months after, she needed my help. The same hand she used to block me, she unblocked me. I know me, always loving and forgiving. I still helped her. Only me could do that if she was looking for. Yeah, you don't have to get yourself in a place where you are always trying to make sure. People will think differently. You can choose to talk, I can choose not to talk. You can choose not to talk, and I can choose to talk. You that is not talking, don't abuse those that are talking. You that is talking, don't abuse those that are not talking. Have I said a lot? I've said a lot without saying anything, though. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, they gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. Is that correct? That's chapter 8, verse 7 now. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, verse 7, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken their by with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that what? In that city. Praise God forevermore. Right? Look at chapter 8, verse 36. And they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What thou in that me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went into the water. Verse 39, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. All the rejoicing we've seen rejoicing for beating. We've seen rejoicing for receiving salvation, right? You don't see any rejoicing for material prosperity. Are we here? Look at chapter 13. And that does not mean don't be happy when you get good news. Because of people, the way the people used to hear some things. You know, I was saying a couple weeks ago, I was saying, you can be happy about something today. And what is making you happy? One man or one woman will sit down somewhere and say, go back into time and backdate that thing you did. And it will affect you who was happy today. That's a parable. You don't understand now, you understand when you get home. Chapter 13, verse 48. I like that you all used to get parables in this church. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up their devout and honorable women, and the chief priests, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of the coast. Let's read verse 51 together. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came unto Iconium. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 15, verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of Gentiles. And they what? Caused great joy unto all the brethren. Chapter 16, verse 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas what? They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners what? Heard them. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and all he straight away. And when he had brought them into the house, he sat me before them and what? Rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Chapter 20. You see true joy all around salvation and his plan. 20, 24. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? With joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What you find out in scripture is that regardless of what the apostles went through, they remained joyful. Why? There was something they knew. Let me tell you, the knowledge they knew is not something that is away from your hand to reach today. Are we together? What they knew is what you can know. Why? Because you have God's word with you. Lift your hand and say, I stay joyful. Say, I stay joyful. Say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and of death, I stay joyful. I stay joyful.